everyone's talking about light rail, though, and we're joined now by Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle to talk about that and other things going through the General Assembly and also in the town of Carborough. Mayor, thanks for joining us today.
No, happy to be here, Aaron, on this beautiful Friday afternoon.
Yeah, we'll try to get you out fast so we can actually enjoy the afternoon. I'm excited because we've got Forum Friday coming up at 5:30, where you will actually be a guest with Blake Hodge and was it Chris Blue, Sajal Nasrali, and Eric Valera from El Centro talking about immigration and refugees. That's coming up at 5:30, which is great because it means I get off the air at 5:30 and I can go out and enjoy the rest of the day.
Right, and then there's a ball game after that.
And there's a ball game after it.
Right.
Yeah, perfect. So light rail passed last night, and again, Go Triangle signed off on it. It goes to the FTA, so that process moves forward. What does that mean for the town of Carborough, and what does that mean for the town's planning moving forward now?
Well, and I was at the MPO meeting this morning. Mm-hmm. That's when we voted on it also. That's the monthly gathering of elected leadership from all of the jurisdictions. And it was a real, big vote, but one of the things that I noted, because everyone had to make some comments, one of the points I made was I have been on the MPO for 10 years now, and the only two that are members of the MPO that have been on longer than me are Ellen Reckow and Ed Harrison. But I noted that, during those 10 years, I mean, this vote today was really, really important. It's another milestone. You know, we've had similar type milestones over the last 10 years where we've had to stop and pause and reengage and, get support again and move forward, or stop and pause and reengage and maybe move the trail and stop and pause and reengage and get a vote of the public. I mean, this is not something that really just happened these last 2 or 3 months. These efforts have been going on for at least 10 years because I just joined the train as it was rolling along, And so, one of the comments I made was, as you know from the letter we talked about, or that came out last week, I can't remember if we talked about it.
Yeah, we did.
The idea that, folks in the 70s pushed for transit, and a lot of the public didn't think that was a good move. And time will tell, but, our region is expected to double in the next, 20, 30 years. By our region, I mean not just, Orange, not quite as much, but certainly Durham and then also Wake, and we're all part of one big connector. And so to make this bold vote and this investment in our future, I think it'll be a move we made that future generations will appreciate.
What was the vote at the MPO? Was it in doubt? Was it unanimous? Were there dissents?
It was unanimous. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. And you had all the jurisdictions there. Hillsborough was not able to be there, but you had Durham County and Durham City. You had Orange County. You had the representative from the Board of Trustees. Nina Schlossberg was there. And I'm trying to think who else. Of course, us, Carborough. Mm-hmm. But you had the only one that was missing, although Chatham is technically a member of the MPO. They show up sporadically, and the light rail really doesn't affect them.
Right.
But Hillsborough was the only one that was not able to be there, be represented, jurisdiction to be represented this morning.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and the light rail plan is obviously, by any standards, a large project that is going to really be a focus of transportation planning and sort of economic planning and budget planning for many, many years going forward. And one of the concerns that opponents of the light rail plan raised, and I don't know, some of them said this explicitly, other people made arguments that sort of suggested this without necessarily saying it out loud, but I think a lot of the concern that opponents of the light rail had is that this is going to turn out to be a boondoggle, right? That this is going to be something that we build, and then it doesn't get the ridership, and it doesn't get the development, and you end up with just as much congestion on the roads and this light rail line that has cost the towns and the county a lot of money. So what is it that sort of statistically or looking at the numbers, what is it that convinced you that this is not going to be that?
Well, the experience of almost every other transit system, recent transit system, has been the opposite, mm-hmm. that ridership is not an issue. And I don't anticipate ridership. That'll be the least of our issues, mm-hmm. I think. We may even, that's one good thing about light rail is you can add on more cars,
Right.
So I don't think that's going to be an issue. No, I think that the challenges along the way will certainly be being able to count on the federal funding and the state funding. And to that end, you know, today we talked to our new, so there's always a representative from the State Board of Transportation at these meetings. And for the last 4 years, it's been one of Governor McCrory's appointees, which was okay because he was a supporter of light rail. Mm-hmm. And so now we have a new appointee, Nina Schlossberg, who was really involved with previous administrations and is very learned about transit and so forth. And so one of the questions posed to her was, you know, how's the governor feeling about this, and how is he feeling about expectation that the state could keep the 10% in there? And also, what's his communication going to be with the president about this? And, you know, she, you know, talked about the fact that, that he was watching it closely and was pleased to see it moving along, but that he was well aware of the fact that certainly conversation was going to have to be had at both ends to mm-hmm. be able to keep the project viable. Because if those fail, if those don't come through, then it probably does fail,
right,
at least the light
right.
rail component. I mean, I think we all acknowledge that, certainly the federal end. So I guess that's the hugest, going to be the hugest challenge. The other will be to make certain that these projected sales tax revenues and generated, you know, property taxes by build out around the locations of the stops, to make sure those happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I think that process has already started with the heavy engagement around exactly where they would be and how the profits would be split between the jurisdictions. And that's not something that Carrboro really has a say in, because the light rail doesn't even come into Carrboro, let alone a light rail station. But I know that Chapel Hill officials, as well as Orange County officials, that's, you know, number one on their mind, I think, to make certain that we do get that investment of commercial around the station so that we can see a bump up in sales tax.
Speaking with Lydia Lavelle again, mayor of Carrboro. I want to get back to transportation in a minute, but you mentioned relations with the state and with the governor. So with the crossover deadline having just passed, and with the General Assembly kind of dealing with literally dozens of bills sort of all at once, it's kind of difficult to keep track of them all. And we've been doing our best to highlight what's been going on with a lot of the main ones that people are talking about. But you've been following the General Assembly and what they've been doing this week. What are the bills that have moved forward this week that you're concerned about, that we here ought to be concerned about, that are going to affect us here locally?
Right. And what's really good is we have two groups, the Metropolitan Mayors Coalition, as well as the League of Municipalities, that help us keep abreast of anything that's happening there, as well as really good relationships with our own delegation. And I'll give a shout out for Catherine Durando, our town clerk. She's our liaison to the legislature, and she keeps us really on top of it. In fact, there are weekly Friday morning phone calls during session that I'm usually a part of, and I missed this morning because of the MPO meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But there are several that we're, you know, as you know, we're keeping an eye on. One of the biggest, I think, is the sales tax redistribution. And so this is one that changes the adjustment factor. And let me read to you just a little bit about this. It eliminates the current adjustment factors applied to the half-cent local sales tax that's imposed under Article 40, and it replaces them with new adjustment factors tied to the economic development tier ranking that's given to the county and municipalities within it. So long and short of that is, it's a slightly new tier ranking that will result in a little bit different distribution of a certain local sales tax, and the initial kind of calculations from the League of Municipalities is that we may lose approximately $250,000 if this ends up passing, and the fiscal staff predicts actually we might even lose more than that. So we're having to kind of watch that one very,
very carefully.
Is it
the town of Carrboro that would lose that, or Orange County?
The town of Carrboro. So you multiply that for the other jurisdictions, because they're larger. So that's something. And sales tax redistribution has been a topic of concern the last couple of sessions. And last session, we were able to kind of defeat a proposal that would have really dramatically decreased the amount of sales tax that we would get. This seems to be another way of going about it by the majority, so we have to watch that one very closely. You've been talking enough about the impact fees. I don't think I need to mention that one.
Wait, there's an impact fee? Yeah.
The other one I think is kind of interesting is the body-worn camera law. Have you talked about that one at
Not
all?
Not really, no.
Yeah,
just
so
heard
that
about
one has
today.
That one made crossover. There actually are a few changes to that law that might be encouraging. So we're kind of tracking that also. One is, one clarifies a definition of deceased person. I'm not so sure that that is relevant or not. I mean, I'm sure it's important.
Probably
but
a
it's
good
not.
Thing to have a clarified definition
right,
of what a
right,
deceased
right, right.
person is.
For purposes of the law, I should say. For purposes of the law. But what it does, though, is it seems to expand the purposes for which a recording may be disclosed. There have been a couple of different versions, House versions, that the most recent version seems to, it definitely includes a city manager. It seems to include also a city council because it creates a new closed session, availability of closed session specifically for viewing by councils, provided all parties reviewing the recording agree to maintain confidentiality. So there, that would be an improvement of that body-worn camera policy.
Because that current policy doesn't really allow very many people to view that footage at all.
It pretty much allows the chief law enforcement officer, which in our case would be Chief Horton, but mm-hmm. you know, in the cases of, say, a county, it would be like a sheriff, but yep. you know, and it's a little different because the sheriff's kind of, you know, the Wild Wild West. The sheriff is reportable to the people. So.
Right, right.
But in any event, you know, and I'm not sure even under this there wouldn't be a body that would get to see it. But in any event, for a lot of these, then it would allow the governing body to be able to see the recording. And then the other, of course, we're tracking somewhat lightly, is the so-called sanctuary city immigration law. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of them. I can't imagine the private action, local compliance immigration law action, it seems a little odd to me. I'm not even sure if, well, anyway. But the other one, the government immigration compliance, you know, that's the one that creates this process where you can file a complaint with the attorney general
right.
and there'll be an investigation done and you could lose revenues if you're found to be in violation of immigration laws, and you know, it's I think it's problematic for a lot of reasons. You know, and we've talked through a lot of these. You know, mm-hmm. first of all, that you know, there is no city or town in North Carolina that that by code or statute or otherwise does violate this law or the federal law. And then there's also, you know, some disagreement, too, as to how much, indeed, the federal government can even require local government mm-hmm. to participate. To me, it seems also odd that state government could force local government to do what federal government maybe can't even force local government to do and then withhold money unrelated to that.
Yes.
But again, cities are creatures of the state, as we're constantly told, and it's a little different than looking at the United States Constitution and the powers therein.
And it seems like with this bill, the private citizen action might be a significant portion of this bill here, because it seems to, if nothing else, have a chilling effect on local officials being able to go out and say, we're a welcoming, inclusive community, which Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Orange County and Hillsborough and Durham and pretty much every community in the Triangle want to be able to say. But this is something that gives a private citizen the opportunity to file a complaint and force a city to go through this process, even if it doesn't end in anything. That's still a significant hassle and a burden to have to defend yourself. And a private citizen could do that for something as little as a member of the town council coming forward and saying we're a welcoming and inclusive community.
It could, because as you read it, you know, it seems to say that you could, this authorizes an action for declaratory or injunctive relief. So declaratory relief is kind of before the action even happens.
Right.
And then injunctive, of course, is you have to stop doing it, right? And but again, I'm not sure. How does, well, I guess the standing is in the statute.
Yeah.
You know, it seems to me like something that a court would really have a lot of fun trying to figure out. One more thing, though, Aaron, that I find discouraging about the government immigration compliance law is that it, again, it takes out this ability, this form of identification that law enforcement across the state worked really, really hard to keep in 2 years ago. Again, last year, kind of pushed back against this ability for us to have, you know, the faith ID, right? The faith ID drives that we have, where everyone can have some form of identification, just so they can have something to show if they need it. It seems like they're going backward on that and not allowing that with this new bill if it ends up getting passed.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarborough.org if you want more information about town government. We got to wrap up in a second, but I know you wanted to talk about National Bike Month, which is coming up in May.
Yeah. I just wanted to kind of give a little, May is one of my very favorite months of the year because it's, you know, the weather's great.
The weather's
nice,
yeah.
You know, get the tune up on the old bicycle and go back out again. But we have lots and lots of activities with regard to May, which is National Bike Month. So a couple of things that we'll have going on in the month of May is, May 10th is Carborough Walk and Bike to School Day. May 15th through 19th will be Carborough Bike to Work Week. And May 19th is Carborough Bike to Work Day. And then also, we're partnering with the Carborough Bicycle Coalition to have a couple of events. One is they have a bike on bus event. And they usually do this every year at the farmers market. And we have a bus come in from, you know, Chapel Hill Transit, and they kind of show how easy it is to put your bike on the bus. Mm-hmm. That's scheduled for May 13th at the farmers market. And then we have the annual bicycle breakfast, which is on May 16th, 2017. And that is always a lot of fun because they usually have really good biscuits and coffee.
Awesome. Townofcarborough.org to get more info on that. Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.